This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This week, we continue talking with drum majors who lead the sound of the Natural State Marching Band for Arkansas State. Last week, we talked to Anna Rougeau. This week, I talked to Adam Hartness, who's a music education major and tells a little bit about himself.
I originally graduated back in 2017 from Greene County Tech High School, and I started playing clarinet in about sixth grade, and I sort of took it as just another routine activity. But by the time that I got to eighth and ninth grade, I had considered not doing it anymore because I had just learned it so quickly and I was so interested in it that I felt like there was nothing else to learn because there were a bunch of other people that were still trying to catch up to the rest of the group. And so we had gotten a new band director at that time, and he sort of showed me some music. He was like, well, if you're really good, can you play this? And I couldn't play it, and I had no instruction on how to better myself at it. But after getting in touch with the right people and being put in certain ensembles, like all region band, I realized that there is a bigger world out there of music and that there's more to experience than just my normal band classes. And so at about ninth grade, I was like, you know what? I wonder if what it would be like if I was in front of an ensemble one day, and if I were teaching some kids of my own, you know, what type of joy would that be? And so whenever it came time for me to get into high school band, I auditioned for drum major my sophomore year. At the time, this is actually kind of funny. At the time, it wasn't necessarily because I wanted to be in a leadership role. It was because of the fact that there was this one girl and I just didn't want her to have it, which I'm not sure if that's something that my directors really want me to say. But back in high school, I was younger. I was a little bit more immature and I never really had that maturity growth. But once I got into that position, it became evident that maturity needed to be present or else I wouldn't last long and the band really wouldn't have the image that we were wanting it to be set. And so I sort of matured not only as a musician but also as a person. Mm-hmm. And I think that just continued to fuel more and more like, hey, this is part of the reason that we want you in this profession, because as you're learning these things, these are what we want you to highlight and teach other people before you. And so, or after you, excuse me. And so once I got started into college, I was thinking up of backup plans, like, okay, plan B, plan C, you're going to start with music ed, but what if you don't want to do that? And I honestly couldn't think of anything else. And so I went and talked with one of my advisors, Dr. Leibovitz. I said, you know, I really don't have a backup plan. What if this doesn't work out? I really don't want to get bored of music education. And she said, well, if you can't think of anything else that you'd rather do, number one, that's a good sign that you should probably teach. But also, number two, you don't have to worry about that, because if you enjoy what you're doing, then that's really all that matters at the end of the day. And entering year three, I really have no regrets as of right now about what I chose to do.
Right. And so with music education, where is your path? Where would you specifically like to go?
After I get done with my internship, what an ideal position I would like to start out, if it were my plan, I would like to start out as an assistant band director at a medium to a large size school. So that way, at the larger schools, what's kind of different from the smaller schools, and both are proven to be successful, but I grew up in a medium to a big size school where whenever we had beginners or first year instrument people, they had the resources and they had the ability to be placed in classes with people that only played their instrument. And so I believe that I would be a little bit more comfortable teaching in those different atmospheres versus maybe a smaller school where they only have a specific amount of time and all of the kids have to be together and you sort of have to balance the attention and the focus with each different section and each different kid in that classroom. So that would probably be an ideal place that I would like to start. But again, if there are other positions that open and maybe distance to home might be a factor or who I'm working with, then again, I'm open for anything. But if I have a choice about where I would like to work and what environment, that would be where I would start searching for.
And so you were saying back that you didn't feel like that in your earlier years that you were getting some of the education that you thought like you could by way of music education. Mm-hmm. Specifically. And I could kind of see that maybe if you go into a high school or junior high, taking that experience, you see where you could maybe kind of fill in some of those gaps where maybe there were some other students who maybe thought like, wow, how you did that, maybe, you know, you're kind of falling in a gap. You know, how do I get, you know, from point A to point B? And you could be there to help that student.
Yeah, I think that whenever I get into the field and I start looking at I believe what Dr. Labovitz calls it is the zone of proximal development, mm-hmm. where not only is it like you want to get this student from point A to point B, but you're able to see the most talented student versus the one that's probably going to need the most help. And again, all of that is fine as long as there's progress at the end of the day, but I definitely want to have a wide range of paths so that way each student has the ability to go down their said path, so that way they can achieve that progress, so that way the students that are at the bottom that might be getting all the help, the ones that are up at the top aren't getting bored, and vice versa. If I'm helping the ones that are up at the top, the ones at the bottom don't feel like they're getting left behind and then have possibly a desire to quit.
And you've had a chance to work with other high schools, right, in your music education?
Yes.
So tell us a bit about that.
Alrighty. As soon as I got out of high school, my alumni high school, Greene County Tech, asked me to come back and work with their summer marching band camps. And that was fun, and that was also an experience, because whenever you get into your first teaching job, I'm a strong believer in that whenever you finally are put in the field and you're put in front of actual students, you learn a whole lot more than any amount of college preparation that you can do. A lot of the college knowledge that we go through in class and with our different ensembles is stuff that primarily teaches us. And then whenever we get into the field, it's more so sharing our experiences with other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's extremely important that you have that experience personally with a student or with a group of students, rather than just envision them in your college classroom. But whenever I was teaching at GCT, after we got done with marching band camp, I was teaching with high schoolers. It was pretty easy. Some aspects were easy, some aspects were not. But I realized that was probably a little bit easier once I got to my next job. My next job was giving that same year, during this fall semester, I was giving all region lessons to some 7th graders and some 8th graders for junior high. And trying to teach kids certain aspects of the music while they're still developing on their instrument in year 2 or year 3 is very, very difficult, especially if there's a group of them and you're not having one-on-one engagement, because then you're having to focus on 10 different individual problems rather than just tackle one problem at a time.
Right.
And that was something that was a little bit overwhelming at first. But the more that you plan it out and the more experience that you put into it, it gets easier the older you get. You know, it's kind of like, I was talking with my friend Dean earlier about this, and I said it's kind of like a workout. Whenever you start, there are those pains and there are those growing discomforts, but if you're able to push through that, you're going to realize very quickly that there's something greater on the other side. And after I got done with those trials and asking people, okay, what can I do better, then the next year and the following year after that, whenever I got into marching bands, I'm starting to find my rhythm and I'm starting to figure out what certain tactics work well for me, whether it's teaching music, whether it's classroom management, whether it's speaking up. You just learn little by little and just continue to add to your teaching toolbox.
Fantastic. So Adam Hartness is joining us here on A-State Connections on KASU. Tell us about how long you've been as part of A-State Bands.
Alrighty, well, this is my junior year, so I'm entering my third year as a member of the A-State Bands. My freshman and sophomore year, I was a clarinet player in the marching band. Last year was my first year as section leader, and I had an opportunity at the end of my freshman year to try out for drum major, and there were several people that knew that I was a drum major from high school, and they were like, hey, Adam, are you planning on trying out? And I really didn't know which one that I wanted to do. And even whenever it came to the day that I had to decide, Dr. Labovitz asked me, she was like, okay, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, Dr. Labovitz, I really don't know. And she was like, well, you need to make a decision right now. Which one is it? And I was like, which one do you think I should do? And she goes, Adam, make a decision. So I said, all right, well, I'm going to do clarinet section leader, because in high school, I was drum major for 3 years other than my rookie year, and I never really had an opportunity to be a section leader. And so I was like, you know what, maybe this might be a good experience for me, stepping into a role that I'm not familiar with And I really just enjoy playing clarinet and being a part of the section. And it was a lot of fun my freshman year. And so I said, you know what, I'll stick around for another year. And maybe this is the place where I need to stay. And so I had a good time being a part of the clarinet section for year two. We played a lot of the same music, but I also realized the overwhelming amount of responsibility and the fact that I was still young. I was still a sophomore. And so there were juniors and seniors, and some of them, they understand that you're a section leader and they're in charge. But then again, some of them have a harder time doing that. And that's perfectly okay. Because I remember as a senior, it was hard for me to listen to freshmen and sophomore suggestions, even when I knew that they were right and I was wrong. But I think that if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't be as open and to acknowledge other people and their suggestions as I am now and as I'm still striving to be. And so it got to the end of my sophomore year, and I said, okay, I'm definitely going to try out for drum major this year. Worst case scenario, I'll come back to the clarinet section and I'll continue to have fun. And whenever it came time to try out for drum major, I believe there were about 12 or 13 other drum majors that were auditioning, and we had two that were expected to return, both Andrew and Anna. And so the odds were that there was only going to be one opening spot, and there were about 10 or 11 people that tried out. And there were several people that auditioned that were very, very good. And whenever I saw them audition, whenever I heard about how it went, I was like, you know what, maybe it's not my time. But the cards just were laid in my favor, I guess. And it turns out that the band directors and the students, they wanted me as drum major. And so I said, okay. And, you know, we're still at the beginning of the year now, but I feel very, very comfortable in the position I'm in. I feel very supported by a lot of my colleagues, and I'm greatly appreciative of that. And I believe that if there's something that I need to improve on, either the other members of the band or the marching band, they're going to tell me. And so I think that's going pretty good so far.
Now, you mentioned Anna Rougeau, who we talked to last week on In-State Connections. Andrew Coleman will be coming up here pretty soon. So working with Anna and Andrew, and how has that been kind of working with them as drum majors, as kind of co-drum majors?
Well, to be honest, Mr. Reeves, I've never really had other drum majors that I've worked with before. Whenever I was in high school, there was one year where I had an assistant, but the communication was not where I believe that it should have been. And so it always felt like I was kind of on my own from previous drum major experience. So whenever I came in and realized that there were two people with prior experience, it was a different scenario because I was I would be a drum major, I would be a conductor and a leader of the band, but at the same time, I would have people that I would need to support and that I would have to look up to and communicate with mm-hmm. in order to learn how A-State does their style. And so working with Andrew and Anna, both of them are, number one, very patient whenever it comes to me asking questions and wanting to learn and figure out more things about, you know, how exactly do the drum majors do their salute. What goes into picking out the songs, you know, who's going to conduct what. And they are very, very good about just opening up to me and saying, hey, Adam, which one would you want to do? So if we have all three songs laid out for a specific show that we want to do, both of them sometimes usually ask me or they ask everybody in the circle, they're like, you know, which one do you guys want to conduct? And I think that having that selfless attitude, they're really awesome to work with. And both of them are open to suggestions. They definitely want to make the three of us better as a team because they know that if we don't work well as a team, that the band more than likely is not going to work well as a team. And so mm-hmm. I think that both of them are very smart and they're very understanding about what is going to achieve the maximum success.
Very good. So tell us about what you enjoy most about being drum major.
Oh my goodness. First of all, I think that it's a little bit early for me to like fully understand, but so far throughout the season, I love the fact that I have the freedom to be able to walk around and ask any section and ask any member, you know, what is it that I can do to help you? Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that we haven't had that in the past because I believe that we have, but there is a stronger sense of selflessness and holding out your hand to the next person and saying like, hey, I'm here and I'm available to help you. And I think that that opens up the community aspect of Marching Man a little bit, because everybody feels comfortable talking to each other and asking a question or asking for help in a certain situation. And so I think that just being that extra hand, even though I might not necessarily be doing anything at the moment, that's what I enjoy the most.
So what is it like being there at Centennial Bank Stadium, or maybe the arena for basketball games, or whatever? What is it like being there and being in that atmosphere and that environment of being able to play?
Well, whenever you're playing in it, it's definitely sort of an overwhelming feeling at first. There's definitely a lot of butterflies. There's definitely a lot of chills, because you might come from a high school stadium, and your high school might be big, but most of the time your high school stadium is typically smaller, and it's just a standard football field with metal stands. When you get into this big bowl that is Centennial Bank Stadium, and you're looking around, I remember the first time that I played in Centennial Bank Stadium. There was one time that was freshman year for a football game, but I really don't count that. The first big band atmosphere that I had in Centennial Bank Stadium was Order of the Pack my freshman year.
Right.
And the home side of that stadium is filled to the brim of students. And so they're all screaming and they're all yelling. And whenever you see that, it's hard to focus on everything, but you have chills unlike anything else. And I am definitely never going to forget any of the moments that I have, either on the field or looking out onto the field.
A-State Bands turns 90 this year, and so there's some excitement about that, isn't there?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of energy that's being thrown around the music department. There's a lot of talk by the band directors. There's a lot of talk by the other students, and it is definitely something that we are holding in high esteems over at the Fine Arts Building.
So what are you looking forward to with this 90 years by way of, any kind of celebration specials or anything like that? Or are you just, I guess just that energy that you're looking forward to here?
There's a lot of extra excitement that's going on around the building. I think one of the differences that sort of is highlighted in my mind, I don't know if we're doing any like special events for the 90th anniversary. I know that there are some special aspects to our shows that we have yet to incorporate before, but I know that the A-State Wind Ensemble is planning on going to Oklahoma later this February of 2020 for the College Band Directors National Association Music Conference. And this is a conference where not a whole lot of college bands are taken, and to be honored as one of those ensembles, the A-State Wind Ensemble, having the invitation and getting to go is pretty extraordinary. And it happening on our 90th anniversary of bands, it's hard to paint a better picture than what is going to be painted later this February.
That's going to be fantastic. That's going to be so much fun.
I agree.
And I think one thing, you all always have a very busy schedule. You have kind of a busy year, football, basketball, all of that. How do you keep everything all together, I guess, by way of you've got classes and you've got all sorts of things that are going on, and then you're playing. How do you juggle the busy schedule?
Well, the first thing that I realized is that Google Calendar and the alarm app on my phone are my best friends, because they, even something like very, very simple as that, it just keeps you on task and it keeps you of the appropriate mindset. But also, the first couple of weeks of classes I always see are the hardest, because you are still building the routines, you're still trying to adjust to your new schedule, but whenever you've been a part of it long enough, you know that there are certain starts to your day, there are certain stops to your day, and there are certain breaks that are in between your day. Like for me, it's a little bit easy because I know Tuesday through Friday, marching band ends at 5. And so I know that from 5 until when I go to sleep, that is free time for me to eat dinner and to do my homework, but also to rest. I think one of the most important parts of my day that is extremely healthy for me is to schedule in time where I can rest or just sit and listen to music. Mm-hmm. And going to bed early and sleeping the appropriate hours, that's good. But I don't consider sleep rest. Like, I think it's part of it, but there needs to be a time where you just sit and you do nothing and you don't think about anything. Not an excess amount, But I think that about 20 minutes a day where you just take it easy and you don't worry about anything, that's really going to help the pacing in your mind, and you'll be able to see things more clearly rather than your brain going at 500 miles an hour constantly.
Absolutely, which can happen very easily. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain show that you're going to be directing that you're kind of in charge of as drum major?
Not necessarily. Every single show that we're doing, the drum majors divide up the song. So usually in a standard marching band halftime show, we'll have three songs, and so each one of us will conduct a song. But usually whenever we think about who's going to be leading, it's the person who brings the band on for pregame, which is usually the same person that is conducting the opener for the halftime show. It's not really like one drum major is in charge over the others. We do have more experienced drum majors. Like Andrew's been doing it for 3 years, and has been doing it for two. So they definitely have more experience than me. And I'll give the last calls to them. But as far as one being the head and some people being the assistants, I don't believe that that is accurate. And again, you could probably ask the other band directors or the other drum majors, but I don't have an exact answer to that, and I really don't want to take words for people.
Yeah. Thank you for your time today. Is there anything else you'd like to add, please, sir?
The only thing that I could say is that if you are within the Jonesboro area or if you're in the surrounding neighborhoods, please come out to A-State football games that we have this season. Or at the very least, if you don't like football, come and get your wolves up for the A-State bands. We love our supporters, and we are very thankful for everybody who likes to come out to those football games.
Adam Hartness is a music education major and is one of the three drum majors that leads the sounds of the Natural State Marching Band. Next week, we talk to Andrew Coleman. I'm Jonathan Reeves for A-State Connections.